Guess Boogie Podcast contains explicit language and content that may not be suitable for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Guess Boogie Podcast, where two married guys share stories of paranormal encounters, urban legends, true crime, and other scary things from around the world. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Andres. And this is the Cheeky-sode. It's not a full-length episode.
A Cheeky-sode, yes.
Yes.
This is number three.
Number three.
Since it's been a while.
Since January.
Yeah.
We've been letting everybody's stories collect.
Sorry.
So how have you been since couple weeks ago with the last episode?
Great.
Good. Wow. That's fantastic.
This isn't about us. This is about the listeners.
Oh yeah. Or we'll get another 2-star review.
Oh no, you're still you're still with that.
We're bragging about our lives.
Oh no.
No. I'm really not upset about it. I just thought it was funny.
Sorry, what did I say? Anyway, this episode is about you guys, the listeners.
Yes, because we're reading your stories.
We're reading you your stories, and you guys are always welcome to send us your stories. We do prefer that you include your preferred name and your pronouns and whether or not we can share it on the podcast.
Yes, because we have gotten stories before where people were like, this is not shareable on the podcast. And that's fine. But please tell us.
Andres and I will talk about it.
Yes.
But we're not going to tell anybody.
No. We might message you back about it and say, wow. Ask follow-up questions. Just a little bit.
You want to go first?
Sure. So I have Instagram and then Kevin's going to be doing emails.
Yep.
So Leslie didn't really specify. So, I'm going to read her story. Hi, guys. I wanted to tell you guys a story about something kind of paranormal that happened to me. I have never really experienced anything in person but in dreams when I was younger, like 14. I had a nightmare. So, I was laying in my bed. It was dark, but like I was seeing myself through night vision type. And it was a white humanoid figure on top of me, like by my lady parts. And it opened its mouth, and I saw sharp, long teeth, and it did not have any eyes, just two empty black holes as eyes. I woke up and was so disturbed. I have only spoken to my current boyfriend about this. Another time that I had a very scary experience, I'm not 100% sure if it was reality or because of my medicated state. So back in 2016, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor that had to be removed due to it causing violent seizures. I was admitted in Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles, which is a very prestigious hospital. My first few nights were fine, but I always felt an eerie feeling at night. Fast forward to the day after my surgery. I was on a very strong pain medication like morphine, but morphine was not enough for me. So I was in and out of sleep a lot. So I guess she's saying that the medication she was on was not morphine because it wasn't strong enough for her. So she was on something stronger. The very next night after my surgery, I was alert still. So I woke up in the middle of the night and I felt my chest heavy. Once I opened my eyes, I saw a woman covered. Her face was covered in blood. She was wearing a white cloth-like gown, also bloody, and she had very dark hair staring into my soul. At first, I was scared, but then a wave of peace and tranquility all over my body, but I could not move. The next night, I saw an older man in all white at around the same time, but he was in the corner of my room, and he was watching over me again. At first, I was scared, but then I felt peaceful. I think they were patients at the hospital and may have passed away those nights, and I like to believe that they came to check on me because I was so depressed and in shock about my diagnosis. If you guys would like to share the story and my name, that is totally fine with me. Thank you, Leslie.
Wow.
Leslie B. I hope she's doing okay.
Yikes. Hospitals are... Yeah. It's weird that hospitals are, you know, places where people go to, like, get help, but at the same time, it's like... people still pass. And, of course, like, spirits are gonna kind of gravitate more toward, like, sensitive people to see if they can communicate. But also, it's nice to know that, like, they were willing to check in on her and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a little story from Madilene. Do you want me to read it real quick? It's literally a paragraph long.
Sure.
She said, "So I was recently in the motherland, and my aunt told me that this Katrina that is at the entrance of El Pueblito named Capula, Michoacán is dangerous. Well, her snake is dangerous. According to locals, they say that her snake comes alive at night and likes to cause accidents as she crosses the street and cause trouble. And so I had to look it up, and it's actually a statue. The snake around her comes to life at night and causes accidents." And I thought, like, wow, I'm going to have to share that little piece. Thank you, Adilinda, for sending your story.
Yeah, thank you. Interesting. A snake. Do you have a picture?
No, I don't.
Okay, I can look it up later. It's okay. Okay, my turn. So I got the emails, like you said, meaning that my stories are a little more lengthier, but still good. We love that. So the first one is submitted by Cindy. She actually emailed us last time, and we covered her cases in the last Chiquisode. Hello again, Andres and Kevin. I wanted to email you again to thank you for reading my story. It made me so happy to hear you guys react to it, but I also wanted to share my boyfriend's paranormal encounter. He also told me to tell you that he was laughing nonstop that y'all were roasting me on the podcast. Oh, no.
Oh, wait.
To be honest, how are we? I don't remember, but that is something I would do.
How are we roasting?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to go back and... Was it the last Chiquisode?
Yes.
I'm going to have to go back and listen. Because if we roasted you, we didn't mean to roast you.
And if we did roast you, was it funny?
Because it's just all in the family, you know? Like, that's what primos do. We roast each other.
Exactly. So, to introduce myself, I use she, her pronouns. I was born and raised in Georgia. My parents are both from Mexico, but come from different parts. My dad is from Guanajuato, and my mom is from San Luis. I'm still living in Georgia. I'm still living in the house I shared the layout of. I also wanted to share that the order of the story was in chronological order from when they happened. On the layout, I forgot to explain that the X's were windows, and my bedroom is one at the far end. My parents stay in the master bedroom. Our house is not too far from a wooded area. My windows are directly facing the forest, and there's a small strip of land after the shed, then a fence that separates the house from the woods. But the chain fence is old and rusted and has been cut so people can cross to and from. All the kids, including myself, called it the other side. Some teenagers said weird stuff about the forest, but I don't know if it's true or just big kids trying to scare the little kids. The woods are so scary.
Yeah. I think I was just talking about this with my coworker, with my new boss.
Mm.
And we were talking about, so she lives in an apartment currently. She's pregnant, just got married last week.
Yeah.
And they are thinking of buying a house. And we were talking about houses. And I like casually mentioned, and I'm like, let me ask the real questions here. And I'm like, if your house backed up into a forest, would you buy that house? Or like potential house?
Mm-hmm.
Literally everybody on my team was like, absolutely not.
Are you serious? Yes. Maybe I'm insane, but... I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, it's just like Twilight. I'm sorry. But you wouldn't?
No. Imagine waking up in the middle of the night, looking out the window, seeing that flesh gate between the trees.
That flesh gate. Well, yeah, I guess.
I've been doing my country accent too often at work.
It's
getting too
good. It's authentic at this point.
It really is.
So... for the first story, I was playing the new Super Mario Bros. Game from back in 2006. I was probably at least 7 or 8. This memory had made me more aware of what was going on around, like I became conscious. For my brother's story, he was 8 years old, if not younger. He himself has no recollection of seeing something in the room. I have no idea what he saw that day. As for story number six, we closed the store and returned / met up again at like 11 p.m. and I was still in high school when I had that part-time job. All my coworkers were all around the same age, so we would play around a lot, work at lot. To be honest, it does seem like something dumb to do now looking back at 22. Like, why did we decide contacting spirits at random was a good idea?
It's girl, a wonderful, fantastic idea,
don't actually. Do it. Do not listen. Especially at work.
No, you have to work there.
Exactly. And don't go to your house because you have to live there.
It might make work more interesting, honestly.
Not depending on what you do. Taco Bell.
If you work at a hotel, no, fuck that. We don't need any more ghosts. But if you work like a retail store, could you imagine the shenanigans the ghost would get into?
The shenanigans?
Yeah.
It's like, giving reality TV.
Yeah, like it's giving VH1. I'd be like, Samantha the ghost literally just unfolded my whole folding table that I just did.
And then it cuts to me like crying in the back room.
Yeah. Shutting the fitting rooms, opening them.
Ooh. Now for my boyfriend's paranormal encounter. He recently shared it as I was talking about your podcast. He said that this happened to him when he was living in Ohio and I was in elementary. It was December and late at night on Christmas Eve. He was trying to stay up to catch Santa Claus in the living room. He said he was starting to doze off when he heard bells ringing. He started to look around frantically, and at the top of the stairs was a pair of white gloves, or hands wearing white gloves, floating at the top of the stairs. They held on to the railing, then after he saw them, they disappeared and the bells stopped ringing. He says that he felt chills and was scared. He didn't think it was Santa Claus. Her boyfriend goes by the name of Rice, so that's how we're going to refer to him. Mm-hmm. And then she says, thanks for sharing my stories and reading my long email and stories. Hope you guys have a great 2022.
Wow, that reminds me of the story that I read in Christmas time. Do you remember that?
The Christmas special?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the weird, like, burnt flesh looking thing next to the tree. That's what that was.
It reminded me, I don't know why, I pictured that scene of The Conjuring where the mom has like a match and she's looking downstairs and then hands show up and clap.
Oh, fuck that.
That's what I thought of.
No, fuck but, like, that.
Immediately scary, clammy that. White hands. Oh, no.
No.
Well, thank you for sharing, Cindy.
Was that it for him? Yes. So good. Thank you so much, Cindy. Next, I'm going to read a story from Andrea. My tocaya. Hola, primos / tocayo. First off, thank you so much for making a safe space where people like myself can have a community and not feel like a freak for our life experiences. Muchísimas gracias. Second, creo que estoy embrujada or something is wrong with me, ? I have many experiences that can't be explained, but I don't think I have any cool or special abilities. Please let me know if you or someone else can help me explain any of these experiences. And then she starts. I'll start with my grandpa on my mom's side. Creepy old house that no one wants to inherit. It's an old hacendada that my grandpa and his siblings, my mom and her siblings, and now an uncle and his family have lived and grown up in. It's shaped like a square donut. In the hole, there was once a beautiful and green garden, and all the rooms were large with tall ceilings. Over time, it has unfortunately slowly fallen into disrepair, which just adds to its scary vibe. I'll try and tell the stories in chronological order so that it makes sense and to attach as many pictures as possible. I loved reading her stories. She
Something set. About the setting.
Yes.
Oh, she set the scene, mama.
Yeah. I think almost like a, when I see the house, it's one of those like hacienda houses that are like, the rooms are on the outside. It's shaped like a, like kind of like a round.
Square donut.
Yeah, square donut. And there's like a.
That's such a middle, good description. What's
it, like the patio in the middle of the house
mm.
that you can't really get to unless you go through the house into the middle of the house. But anyways, when my grandpa was very young, around 6, one of his uncles went missing. All of the siblings would split up the work for the day. Half of the family assumed his uncle had just ran off and left his wife and kids, while the other half desperately searched everywhere for him. They searched the entire property and small town with no luck. After a couple of days, everyone resumed to the daily work, and another of my grandpa's uncles was trying to get into a room that used for storage, but there was something propped up against the door preventing him from getting in. He called a couple more of his siblings and together they pushed through. Trigger warning. That's where they found their young brother's lifeless body. He somehow had died and his body was slumped against the only way in and out of the room. Some people think it was a natural death. He was in his early 30s. Others think that the espanto de la casa got him.
What? Natural death at 30?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I'm not, you know, pointing fingers, but it was definitely accidental.
Cindy, that is some scary shit.
Cindy, these are bones. Sorry.
Oh my God.
Not Cindy, the listener that just submitted her story. No. I swear.
Cindy from a Scary Movie.
Perry. Oh
my God. The Hacendada is the building with the flat roof. So she sent a picture, right? And so she says the Hacendada in the building with the flat roof and the arches in the entrance, but is attached to the town church for some reason. They were built together, but do not have any entryway to each other that we know of. At the hell portal, there are rumors that there was a priest who was pushed off or jumped from the bell tower and died at the entrance of the church. My mom says that her and her sister used to clean the church late in the evening, and that many times there was a shadowy figure who ran into the church and up the tower, which was closed at the time to everyone. When somebody would go up there to investigate who it was, there was no one there. Keep in mind that there was only one way up and down the tower. Many people think that it's the priest running up the tower over and over again. And I'm guessing that at the hell portal, it's probably in front of the church, I'm guessing.
Oh, the hell portal in front of the church?
Yeah, but let me show you. So it's literally like the Hacendada backs up into the church. The back of the church is the Hacendada.
They share a wall.
Yes, they share a wall. Mexican architecture.
Where was this?
This is in Durango.
Oh my God.
My place.
My
home country.
I'm sorry that I'm like blanking on your name, but someone submitted a recommendation about this. Okay. It was Adriana. Hi, Adriana. She recommended a catedral in Durango that someone caught on camera, but looks like someone jumping off the...
This might be it.
Oh my God. It's like the
multiverse. Although I don't know because this is my multiverse. I don't know that this was in the city of Durango, the picture that she sent me.
Well, I don't think Adriana mentioned that it was in the city of Durango. She just said that it was in Durango.
Wasn't that the one where there was a nun?
I think it was.
That's in the city of Durango.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm sorry. There's a lot going on in Durango, huh?
Yeah. It's where I came from. That's why I'm special.
Okay.
I got stung by an alacrán when I was born. That's because it's the state. Animal.
And then you said, ajua.
Yeah. Ajua, compadres. Fierro pariente.
Fierro pariente.
Anyways, these are just a couple of deaths that have occurred on this property. Others include carnival ride disasters, vehicle accidents, or just straight up intoxicated murders. So fast forward to the mid-90s. My ass finally made it into the scene. I was still a toddler around 3 when the last of my grandpas and aunts passed away. In Mexico, or at least where we are from, it's custom to velar, aka sit with the body of the deceased all night and sing songs, pray, etc., until it's time for the mass and burial. So my mom walks up with me to have a moment with her great aunt. And before you judge me, just know that no one, and when I say no one, I really mean no one, like this lady. So nobody liked this lady.
Aww.
I asked my mom in front of this lady's casket very loudly, ¿Por qué está... ahí echada la vieja? Oof. After getting mean mugged by my relatives, and my mom, extremely embarrassed, asked me to call her la señora and tried to explain that she had passed away. Fast forward a couple of months. She said echada. Like my mom when she's like, estás en la cama echado como una vaca.
I'm so sorry.
Damn, Andrea, you were ruthless at 3. I she bet you're even ruthless thing. Now. What a queen. What a fucking queen.
She went up to that casket. She's like,
¿Por qué estás echada, vieja?
Get up.
No, let's not. That lady was dead. Let's not speak ill of the dead.
I'm not, but.
Oh my God.
Andrea, you gagged.
I just sent her a message too, and I was like, hey, I'm reading your I'm reading your story for a cheeky soda right now, actually.
Reporting live
from another bitch's business.
Reporting live from another bitch's business.
Okay. Anyways, I'm sorry. I have to get the laugh out. Hold on. Oh, how do I recover from that? At this point, my grandma had left my grandpa. He was living on his own in this huge house, and unfortunately, although he was very sweet, he was a machista. My aunties and mom had to help him with a lot of stuff. So we went to go visit him so my mom could cook and clean for him. These rooms in this house were extremely big, and we had organized so that he had a studio-style living arrangement, equipped with a living room, dining room, kitchen, and bedroom area in a single room. The bathroom was about 2 bedrooms away. This wasn't out of the ordinary. I would always accompany my mom to help my grandpa out. But that day, for some reason, I refused to enter his bedroom. I began crying and screaming, saying, "La señora está ahí." My mom and grandpa tried to console me, saying that it was just his bedsheets, or maybe it was the painting he had hung up. But I kept pointing to the opposite corner of the bedroom, repeating the same thing over over again. When my mom couldn't get me into the room, my grandpa volunteered to walk with me in the garden while my mother continued to clean. She didn't think much of it, but as she was cleaning, she recalled how at that age, would always call everyone by their name, except one lady, La Vieja, who she had asked me to call from that moment on La Señora. She was extremely uncomfortable after that and began to do her chores much faster so she could leave sooner.
Wait, I'm sorry. It was the same lady?
Yes.
The way that lady showed up was like, what did you say?
She said, what?
I heard what you said.
She said, what did you say? 3-year-old Andrea?
3-year-old.
Excuse me?
Gagged.
She was about to clear her. She's like, I'm about to clear.
Clear her.
A 3-year-old from beyond the grave.
Hold on. Gagged.
This family is full of baddies.
Oh my god.
Wow, Andrea.
I'm scared. I'm shaking.
I'm shaking and quaking in my little boots. Anyways, but she sent us a whole bunch of voicemails that we still need to listen to, so I'm going to leave them in there. Actually, I think we have already listened to them.
Were they a part of this story or?
No. Maybe.
I don't know how to put that sound into this.
It's just for us.
Oh, okay.
Solo para nosotros. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not good with audio engineering.
Yeah.
So I would love to know how to do that. Like, it'd be cool to be like, oh, we're gonna put the audio of the video right here. And then it's the video audio and it's like, oh, how was that? I don't know how to fucking do that shit. I'm sorry. But thank you. Thank you, Andrea, for the submission. Okay, my turn. This was submitted by Wendy. Hi, Wendy. She titled it El Duende de Honduras. Love. First of all, I love a good duende story. And I love stories from Central America. So, double whammy.
Wow, you couldn't even say Honduras.
Honduras. What did I say?
You love stories from Honduras, not Central America.
I mean, I don't know many. But I know, like, El Salvador has a few scary ones.
I want to visit.
Me too. Oh, my God. Okay, she says, hola primos. First off, happy new year and thank you so much for a great podcast. Again, I'm sorry that these are so late.
I'm embarrassed.
Second, I hate that I'm caught up on your podcast, including Chiquisode number 2. Third, here's a story for your next Chiquisode, I hope. My story is an old family one. First off, let me start this by referencing the meaning of El Duende in Honduras. I've translated in English to the best of my knowledge to make it easier for you guys when and if you read it on a Chiquisode. I feel like duendes are different in all of Mexico, Central America, and South America. So she says, para los habitantes de las zonas rurales de Honduras, el duende no es una leyenda, sino un ser real que deambula por las comunidades en busca de jóvenes hermosas para convertirla en su esposa y llevársela a vivir a su casa. También les gusta robarse a niños y niñas para jugar con ellos y para hacerles groserías y travesuras para divertirse. So she says, for the inhabitants of the rural areas of Honduras, el duende is not a legend, but a real being that roams the communities in search of of beautiful young women to become his wife and take her to live in his cave. They also like to steal boys and girls to play with or to mistreat for fun. So this happened to my grandma back in 1942 or 1943. She was a young 19-year-old pregnant with her first child. She was pregnant with my mother at the time. Back then, the houses in Honduras had an outhouse to use the restroom. My grandmother states that most nights, like many pregnant women do, she would wake up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. One night, as she was walking outside, she saw someone the size of a child. She said she didn't feel afraid, so she just thought it was just her neighbor's kids. This happened multiple times in the span of a week or two. One day, while speaking to her neighbor, she mentioned how odd it was that her son, the neighbor's kid, and her always wound up outside in the middle of the night. The neighbor assured her that her child never went outside in the middle of the night alone. My grandma found this odd, but didn't think much of it. That same night, she saw the figure again. This time, she felt afraid, but proceeded to walk to the outhouse. When she was doing what she needed to do, the small figure, wrapped in a green cape-like coat, looked like a grown man in a child's body, appeared in front of her and told her, "Eres muy bonita, y qué bueno que también ya tienes a una niña linda creciendo para tener una esposa nueva y una amiga también para jugar." You're so pretty, and how great that you are already growing a beautiful girl inside of you. Now I will have a new wife and a new friend to play with. My grandma states that she ran like she's never ran in her life. This is kind of gross, but she said she wasn't done peeing, so she ran while peeing. She was so afraid she never went out there at night again. Shortly after that, my grandfather started building a bathroom attached to the house so that she never had to experience that again. What always got her attention was that El Duende stated that she was going to have a girl, which back in the 40s wasn't something anyone, including doctors, knew. She always made sure that none of her friends or grandkids went outside after dark. My grandmother never saw El Duende again, but she did see La Llorona twice, but I am unsure of that story. I will ask my mother, and I am sure I will email it once I have all the details. Thank you again for a great podcast. Best wishes. Wow.
Wow. That almost reminds me of that story that Maita's aunt told us about, the Duende, and it was like, Cynthia, and I'm like,
oh yeah.
Oh no. Mm-mm. Nope.
But those in Guatemala, there's something about Duendes that are scary.
They're more malevolent in Central America. Although I have heard some pretty scary stories that happened in Mexico, but it's like, it's not a thing here in the U.S. really.
No.
Or like Northern Mexico. It's more like a closer to Central Mexico, like Southern Mexico thing. Definitely.
It's weird because like even Native Americans and like First Nation people, they believed in like Duendes. They wouldn't call them Duendes, but they had like their own versions and legends of them.
Right. Little people. That's scary.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you for sending us your... Was that her grandma's story?
Yes.
The 1940s?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the 1940s?
Mm-mm. Yeah, that Duende knew she was having a girl. Like, excuse me?
That's scary as fuck.
What do you know that I don't know?
Yeah. Okay, this is from Ganja Gremlin. She didn't tell me her name. But I love that on her Instagram, her bio says mentally exhausted, and I have never...
Girl, same.
Yeah, I love that. Like, it's like, wow, I identify with this so closely. Anyways, hey guys, I don't know if you'll see this DM, but I just wanted to mention something. I recently found your podcast and I love it so much that I've been listening to it from the beginning. I heard that story about the baby with teeth saying it eats anything because it has teeth, and I was shook. Not because it's scary, because it is, but because I've heard it before. I haven't heard anyone else tell it. Back where my parents are from in Mexico, there's a really long road leading to the main town. The road is in a less developed area, so there's no streetlights. Anyways, if you want to get to the main town, there's three roads. One is longer and darker, so no one takes it, and the other two are next to each other but separated by land/houses. The top one is super steep, and at the top of the hill, there's the cemetery, so people avoid it because it's spooky. And the bottom is the one I mentioned, super dark. Anywho, story goes, someone was walking by and heard a baby crying, so they went looking through the bushes and found a baby. They took the baby and started walking home, and as they were walking, they were talking to themselves, worried about what they were going to feed the baby. They were worried because they only had caldo and tortillas. Then the baby said something along the lines of, "Puedo comer tortillas, tengo dientitos," and then showed them a full set of chompers. They yeeted the baby back into the bushes and ran home. They said the baby was un duende playing tricks, so people do say they see duendes off that road. Either way, I was always scared as fuck walking around at night. Oh, and scissors as a cross under the pillow is so they can cut the witch's tongue. It's a warning to fuck around and find out, episode 23. They say unexplained bruises kids get in their sleep are brujas chupando sangre. There's a story about a kid who woke up in the middle of the night and saw a weird string coming from his roof above his bed, so he cut it with some scissors. And the next day, a lady suspected of being a witch had her tongue missing.
gagged.
Wow.
He left her gagged. I'm sorry, Mama.
Then she sent a picture and then said, green graveyard, red is the... She said, green graveyard, red is the dark road. There's a lake nearby that floods. And that's when the duendes go fuck around with people trying to take them home because they're wet and cold.
Can I see?
Well, it's...
Oh, no.
She sent us a picture, and then, but I think it was a story because it's like, it just says rewatch this, but when you try to rewatch it, it won't let you.
I think I did see it, though. And I was like, because I saw the picture first when I opened the message.
Wow. But I was like, wow, what a cute little poem.
Oh, my God.
Green graveyard. What is the dark road?
What if we're related? What if you're a distant cousin?
Of the Ganja Gremlin?
The what?
Of the Ganja Gremlin?
The Ganja Gremlin.
That's who sent the story.
Oh. We are related.
Yes. All of our listeners are related to us. Crazy. They're primos and primas. Anyways, oh wow, that story was really good.
It's interesting to think, what kind of teeth do you think he had? Like human teeth?
Yeah.
Horse teeth?
Yeah. You know what? Like, this full is very choppers. Like unrelated to the podcast or whatever, but like, do you remember River Monsters with Jeremy Wade?
No. What the fuck? Who's that?
That's the guy on like either TLC. It might have been TLC or like Discovery, where he would like hear legends or stories about big fish in rivers, and then he would go try to fish.
Girl, I've never seen this man in my life.
Really? Well, anyways, he went to investigate a fish that had human teeth. Their teeth looked like people teeth.
It was a duende.
No, and the reason why he investigated this fish is because one of those fish bit a guy's dick off when he was peeing in the river. Oh my
God.
And that's what I thought of. People teeth bite wieners off.
Oh, nor. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for your submission.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, this is a long one. This is by Amy. Amy, friend of the pod. She says, hi, Kevin and Andres. Not going to lie, I totally forgot there were more emails I promised due to life getting in the way, and being preggers really does mess with your memory. I don't know when your next chikisode will be, but I may no longer be Amy from Japan, but another Amy in OK. So here are the next set of experiences that I had promised.
Well, let us know, prima Amy in OK, so we can...
This is in January, so she's probably already here. So this one is titled... Well, the email is titled Family Ghosts. The section is My Cousin. My cousin was murdered in the beginning of 2017. My boyfriend, now husband, was deployed overseas in places he couldn't say, so I was already emotional enough with that, but to add to my cousin's murder and having to see him like that broke me. Fast forward to March when my boyfriend, quote, or parentheses, a husband, came home. He had left to go visit his family and left me in Oklahoma because, one, I had to work, and two, I was not in an emotional state to deal with in-laws. When he came back with his sister, which was no big deal, since she wanted to come visit anyway, and I knew she did. The day that my now husband proposed, I had a dream. In that dream, I was alone on a beach, and I heard my cousin calling me. I turned around, and he was there, and I was crying and saying how much I missed him and how he was stupid for getting shot, etc. When he stopped me and said, just say yes, I was confused and asked, say yes to what? What are you talking about? He responded, just say yes, it'll make them all happy and smile again. And I kept begging him to tell me what he was talking about, and kept repeating the same two sentences until he woke me up. When I woke up, I looked at the time, and it was exactly the time that I saw him on the day he was murdered to the minute. My husband woke up with me, and I told him about my dream, and he held me while I cried myself back to sleep. When I woke up, we didn't talk about it and got ready to go to my grandpa's house. Being Mexican as fuck, my grandpa decided to throw himself a cookout/party to celebrate getting LASIK and him being able to see. My whole family was going to be there, and my sister-in-law bought a box with her, which I looked at her like, why is she getting a gift for? Mind you, this gift was a big box, so I didn't think it was anything like a ring. Michael said it was for me since I had survived my first deployment together, but that I had to wait to open it at my grandpa's. And my grandpa's, my husband, being white, had to fight to get everyone's attention because we were loud as fuck. So finally, he was able to get everyone to look at him and I. Then he finally gave me the box and told me that this was a thank you for dealing with him having to be gone all the time. So it turned out to be a box within a box situation.
Oh my gosh.
He proposed to me in front of my entire family, and that's when I finally understood what my cousin meant. He was telling me to say yes to my now husband, and I looked around, and for the first time in several months, my family was smiling and happy, just like he had said. That was one of the best decisions I've ever made, and he made sure that I made the right decision. It was one of the only times I saw my cousin after he died, but it was the most important.
Wow.
Okay, screaming and crying.
Yeah, he's looking out for his cousin.
Wow.
Wow.
Love that. Oh, I'm so sorry, Amy.
Yeah. That's very upsetting.
But he knew.
But in a good way.
It's nice to know that he was still paying attention. He was still watching over you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's screaming and crying. Okay. So this one is titled, My Brother.
Is this still...
This is still Amy. Okay. She has three. So this one and then the next one.
Okay.
I don't know if this would be considered a weird coincidence or me just reading into it more than it is, more than is there. My brother was murdered in 2021, very eerily, like my cousin was. Both were shot and killed at 18, and both now lie close to each other in the same cemetery. As you know, I live in Japan, so I am constantly a day ahead of everyone in the U.S. My husband and I decided to start trying to have a baby at the beginning of 2021, so I took my birth control out and let whatever was going to happen, happen. By the time my brother was murdered, it had been several months without any luck in the baby department. After I heard about my brother, I went home for a month on emergency leave so that I could be with my family and be at my brother's funeral. It was hard being there, but it was harder having to leave again. Fast forward to September to my first OBGYN appointment, where I get to see the baby and they tell me my estimated due date. I started bawling my eyes out because the doctor told me my baby's due date was the day that my brother died. This experience wasn't a ghost, but there is no way that this is a coincidence that my baby would be due on the same day that he died. To me, I took it as a sign from him helping me out. Both my cousin and my brother have given me a little sliver of hope even after their deaths, or at least it is how I see it.
Wow.
Wow.
Love that. What a hell of a coincidence.
So this last one is my great-great-grandma. This experience was not felt by me or anyone in my family, but it was my great-great-grandma who was the ghost in the house. In Mexico, my family had two houses next to each other in Chihuahua. The one to the left was my great-great-grandmother's house, and the one to the right belonged to my great-grandpa and my great-grandma. Well, my great-grandparents had already died at this time, so my great-great-grandma outlived them. She passed away on Halloween. That's what I remember, since I can't remember the year. So since she didn't leave the house to anyone in particular, me, Tia decided to just sell it. So the house is sold and the new people move in, and since we still have the house on the right that now belongs to my madrina, my tia would go and clean it or visit the house. During one of those times, the new owners of my great-great-grandma's house came and asked my tia basically, what the fuck is up with the house? It's haunted.
Fuck.
She went on to describe that it sounded like my great-great-grandma. She told the new owners that my great-great-grandma was very particular with her house and how she wanted it and kept it always clean. So my tia went to the house with them and said, Abuelita, these people are going to take good care of your house and don't belong here. We will take care of it from now on. Tell me why the señora never reappeared after that. She just wanted to know her house was good. I know these stories aren't as scary or as interesting as my other two emails I've sent, but these are the experiences that lighten the mood or just sentimental to me. Not every experience with the unknown is scary sometimes. They just come in to fuck with your emotions a little. So maybe you can use these stories when you have really terrifying stories to tell to help y'all go to sleep after. As always, I still love your show and keep them coming. Amy.
Wow, Amy.
Wow.
She's so supportive. Amy,
I love this. Thank you for sharing. You want to go next?
Yes, this is from FJV, which she has submitted stories to us before.
Okay.
French La Brujita. Frenchie La Brujita. We were kind of having a conversation and she ends up saying... She says, it's funny how you guys brought mirrors and I told my husband I don't want it in our bedroom, but he told me to stop being so superstitious, but fuck that, I cover it at night. Laugh out loud. I think she was referring to how we don't have mirrors in our room.
Mm-hmm.
Then she says, but this didn't happen to me. It happened to my mom and my tia when they were younger. Maybe my mom was like 10, 11 and my tia, her sister, was like 6, but they just moved into a new house. My grandpa had recently just passed. Well, anyways, a mirror like one of those old school mirrors where they swing back and forth was left there, and my mom always had a weird feeling about it. Well, one day she passed the room where the mirror was and she had to walk back to the room because she saw a forest on the other side of the mirror. And my mom was in a daze, like, am I really seeing this? So she called my tia, her sister, just to make sure she wasn't going crazy, and my tia saw the same thing, a forest in the mirror. A couple of days passed where they could see it on and off until one day my mom saw bears in the mirror where she said, it seemed like they were telling her to come and my mom cried to my grandma. Well, my grandma didn't believe my mom, of course, but she did take it out of the house and put it in the front for anyone to take for free. Apparently someone did take it because the next day it was gone. And my mom, being in her early 50s today, still remembers that mirror story as clear as if it happened yesterday to her. But yeah, wanted to share that with you guys.
What the fuck? There's something about mirrors. Something about mirrors. Every time I, like, get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night or something, I never look at a mirror. Never. No. And from our room to the bathroom, there's a huge mirror in the hallway. I never look into it. Or even when I'm washing my hands in the bathroom, I never look into the bathroom mirror. I just don't trust them.
No, not at all.
But a forest. A bear?
It's like calling the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe.
Except it's the mirror, the bear, and the forest. Well, thank you. Thank you for submitting your story.
Thank you, FJV, for all of your stories. And she has literally submitted a lot of stories. We've read her stories, I think, on every Cheekysode.
Icon. Okay, this one was titled, or it's submitted by, I don't think they said their name, so I'm gonna go off of the name on the email, which is Disco. It's titled A Toxic Couple and the Devil ? Hi primos, I love y'all's podcast so darn much and how relatable y'all are to people like me, you know, Spanish speaking first generation kind of people. So awesome. I recently opened a barbershop in Riverside, California, and in the process of working on the shop, I found your podcast, and my daughter, who was 11 years old, was with me throughout the whole time. She instantly got hooked on the podcast and recommends it to literally everyone. She loves learning about skinwalkers and things of that nature. We've probably listened to the Fleshgate episode about 10 times. Yeah, she's pretty cool, lol. Anyway, with her newfound love for this podcast, she asked if I had any spooky stories. And although I don't have any personal stories, I told her the story my grandma used to tell me when she was alive. My daughter loves this story, so she asked that if she wrote the story for me, I'd submit it. So here it is. P.S. She wrote it as if I'm the one writing it. Made me realize homegirl does not need help with her writing assignments. LOL.
How cute.
So this takes place in Tijuana, Mexico. My grandparents were heavy drinkers and loved to party. They were an intense couple that loved to fight just to make up. One day they had gotten into a fight. My grandma wanted to go to a party in their colonia. My grandpa did not want to go, which meant that if he didn't want to, she wasn't going either. You know, toxic masculinity at its finest. However, my grandma was not the one to be told what to do. She ended up going anyways. After a while, my grandpa jumped in the shower. He decided he was going to go to the party to keep an eye on my grandma. As he showers, he hears footsteps on the roof. He thought it was strange, but simply ignored it until the footsteps turned into stomps. Heavy, angry stomps. He scurried out the shower and checked the roof. Nothing. He got nervous, but decided to leave to the party. Upon arriving to the party, he looked for my Nana. She was dancing with her sister, having a good time. He walked up to her to dance with her, which she accepted. While they're embracing their dance, he sees a couple a few steps away. He can see the back of the man's head, but doesn't recognize him at all. And yes, it's a party, but their colonia was small, and there wasn't too many new people around. Something about this unsettled him, but he continued to dance and have a few drinks. The man disappeared into the crowd of people, and he didn't see him for a while. Once again, they're dancing, and he spots the man again. This time, the man turns his head to the side. My grandpa said this man was extremely handsome. Chiseled jawline, beautiful eyes, and perfect facial hair. Suddenly, the man turns the other way. This time, the man had the face of a horse and turned completely around to make eye contact with my grandpa. He immediately gripped my Nana and dragged her out of the party. He was hesitant to tell other people, worried that they wouldn't believe him or blame it on his drinking. Soon after that day, he fell ill with a very bad fever and wouldn't speak for days. When he finally spoke out, he said he knew it was Satanás himself. He knew from the feeling in the pit of his stomach. Initially, my grandma thought it was just his way of getting her out of the party since he didn't want to go in the first place. But soon after, realized he had to have seen something traumatic for him to get so ill. So there it is. Mexico is wild. I do believe these things are more common in Mexico, being that it's an older country and so many people practice brujería and things of the nature. Mm. Hell, my grandpa even got stoned by duendes once. I believe it too. Anyway, sorry for the long email. And if y'all read this, I appreciate it. My name is Ileana, and y'all can use my name. And if you can give my little hello, she would be ever so happy. Her name is Naima, and she's a fan. Thank you for y'all's content. We love it. And if you're ever in SoCal, your haircut is on me.
Wow.
Sorry, I didn't see your name at the beginning. So I'm like, okay. Well, thank you, Ileana. Wow, thank you for submitting your story. I feel like that's everyone's grandparents always have those stories. They always have those stories growing up. It's like, oh, one time I went out to a baile and I saw the devil.
And then everybody saw that one woman. What was it? The man she danced with, and he had a chicken leg and a
goat leg.
And then the club burned to the ground.
I love it.
What was his name? Grand Exit. Nelly, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Flop.
I am. Was that Omarion or was that Nelly?
That was Nelly. Oh my God. Anyway, thank you, Ileana and Naima. I really want to know what was on the roof, you know?
A bruja.
Like, he said that he heard footsteps to the point where, like, it became stomping. It's like, what was on the roof? Was it trying to draw him out of the house to go to the party? Because for the creature thing to turn around and just make eye contact with him, it's very, like, targeted. It's like, he drew him out.
He said, you respect your woman right there. You.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he wanted. Thank you. We will, I think that's it for today, but we want to release more Jigisodes more often. We have a lot to catch up on, actually.
We always say, we're going to release more and more
often. We're going to release more, but now we are, because I'm done with school.
Escuela.
We're done.
You're done with Escuela.
For now.
Yeah.
But at least you guys have my attention for another year.
So. Yeah. True.
Anything you want to say before we go?
If you wake up at 3 a.m., chances are is because there was somebody staring at you.
Great. Thanks for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at GetSpookyPodcast and on Twitter at GetSpookyPod. Also, email us any story suggestions or your own scary stories at GetSpookyPodcast@gmail.com. Or you're welcome to send us as a DM in Instagram. So special thanks to Taylor Turner for the artwork and Kyle Fields for the intro music. And don't forget to tell someone you love how much they mean to you.
Wow. Goodbye.